I mean, it's not like we played cupcakes the first 2 weeks as far as weapons. You know, I think you can go back and just read them off. Very similar to the offenses that we've played as far as weaponry goes. So it's definitely one we got to be on top of our game, and hopefully we can play a good team football game, more like week one, not the result, but the formula, and we'll see how that goes. So we have to execute.
It's 5:37, Allstate Showcase Studio, 720 WGN, The Beat. Harry Tynowitz, Sam Panionovic. Thank God Carmen finally left, huh?
Now.
I was waiting for him to go. I'm like, come on already.
Come on now.
Danny Long producing the show as always. Now, we love the Carmen. We hope he has fun at the wedding, and always good to get an opportunity to work with you. We get to do it twice a year.
It's rare. Well, I mean, you know, it's great. We will enjoy it, and we're rocking you until 7 o'clock when Amy Guth takes over.
Blackhawks pregame, 7 o'clock. One quick note before we get to Adam Hoge, our Bears insider, and Paul Sullivan from the Chicago Tribune will join us in the 6 o'clock hour. He was at the Cubs and the Brewers. From Scott Birkin on Twitter, White Sox beat writer, Carlos Rodon was asked whether shoulder surgery is a possibility. The quote was from Rodon, "I can't tell you. I can't answer that right now. ...
It doesn't sound good.
That's not a good sign for Carlos Rodon. As we bring in Adam Hoge, who's a noted White Sox fan, your thoughts on Carlos Rodon maybe needing shoulder surgery again, Adam, as we welcome you in. What do you think about all that?
I think that's the worst way I could ever be brought onto a radio show, with getting that news right there. This whole Rodon thing, not to get me like off the rails here, but Sam, you know this. I mean, from the start, it never sounded good. Even when he came back and was actually pitching for a while, and actually I'll give him credit, he pitched pretty good once he kind of figured things out in the first couple starts. It never seemed like the whole way they handled it from spring training, it did not seem like it was a good thing.
And I got in trouble, as you know, trying to infiltrate the camp, the Rodon camp, Harry. I got handcuffed for that. But that's not why we're here.
Adam, I saw you last week at the Northwestern game, and we were both, you know, very happy with the way that the Bears came out against Atlanta. And then last week happened, and yuck, it was awful. How are the Bears going to hang against the Steel Curtain tomorrow?
You know, just hearing that John Fox soundbite that you guys came back with there, and hearing how he's talking about, you know, the formula that they hope they come back with this week, not the result, but the formula and how they played the Falcons. Well, that formula was don't turn the ball over, right? I mean, they had zero turnovers against the Falcons, and they played a decent game, not an impressive game offensively, but a decent game, and they were in it at the end. And quite frankly, they should have won the game. I mean, they had four shots at the end zone at the end, and they gave up an 88-yard touchdown to a tight end, which you should never do. So that formula is fine. However, is it really realistic to expect the Bears to not turn the ball over at all? Now, four times, obviously, is extreme. Four times in the first half, like last week against Tampa. And I've heard a bunch of people talk this week, oh, well, you know, if they don't turn the ball over like that, it's a close game. Okay. You know, I can buy that. However, you know, I think there's some kind of middle ground there. To expect Mike Glennon not to turn the ball over, to not expect this offense, which really does not have a whole lot of weapons at all offensively, to not have turnovers, I think is asking for a lot, especially against the Steelers tomorrow, a great defense, especially a great run defense. That's why it's hard for me to believe that they're just all of a sudden going to go back to what happened week one and have this formula that gets them within a shot in the fourth quarter to have a chance to beat a really good football team, maybe the best football team in the entire AFC.
32 teams in the NFL. Where would you rank the Bears in terms of total talent out of 32? What number are they?
I still think better than the Browns. I still think better than the Jets. Other than that...
not good. That's not what I was hoping. 30? So 30 out of 32 in talent?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's tough, especially offensively. You know, I think they're making some strides defensively. I think they made a great move to, re-sign Akeem Hicks long-term. I still think Leonard Floyd can figure it out, even though he's had a couple of quiet weeks here defensively, or at least rushing the passer. He's been pretty good against the run. But, yeah, it's not – I cannot make an argument beyond number 30. You can have some conversations here and there about are they better than this team, whatever, but it's hard to make a strong argument that they're better than any of the other teams. So I'd probably put them number 30 right now.
Not good. Adam, the Bears have, like, nobody who's going to catch passes tomorrow, but they got one guy coming back. And the last time Marcus Wheaton had a healthy season, it was pretty good for Pittsburgh. He did a pretty good 2015, and he averaged, like 17 yards a catch, and he had 8 touchdowns. So what does number 12, Marcus Wheaton, bring to the table tomorrow?
Well, he brings speed, and you heard Mike Glennon kind of laughably say earlier this week that they're turning into a speed offense, which was a direct quote. He actually said that.
Watching them makes you want to get on speed.
You know what? You know, it might be accurate that, hey, Wheaton can run, Josh Bellamy can run, Deontay Thompson can run, but can they run routes? I mean, they can run, but can they run routes? Can they catch the ball? That's kind of the problem here. And look, Marcus Wheaton was a decent offseason signing to complement this Bears offense as like a number 3 wide receiver. When he's now being propped up to this number 1 type guy because Cam Meredith is out for the year and because Kevin White has another serious injury, you know, it's hard for me to just be convinced that this guy who, by the way, went through a decent amount of injuries in Pittsburgh, too. A decent player, but an injured player a lot. So he fits right in with the Bears, right? But, I mean, for him to – you're all of a sudden talking – this guy has not practiced with Mike Glennon, like hardly at all. He was hurt the entire training camp. He had an appendectomy in Bourbonnais. He then broke his finger when he came back. I mean, he's hardly had any practice time. I'm not trying to kill a guy. I think he's a great addition. Some in terms of what they have right now, they need him, and it'll be good to have him out there against his former team. But I think expectations still need to be tempered here a little bit because we're not talking about an NFL superstar here. We're talking about just right now, given what the Bears have offensively at wide receiver, he's probably just the best option they have. So what can he do? I don't know because he's hardly been out there on the field. I mean, I did a radio hit in Pittsburgh earlier this week. They were asking me what Marcus Wheaton could do for the Bears, and I asked them, what can Marcus Wheaton do for the Bears? Because I don't know. I haven't seen him.
Adam Hogue with us on The Beat, 720 WGN, Bears Insider, also the host of the show, The Beat, also does the Hogue and Johns podcast. Since you brought up expectations, let's go there. Kyle Long, kind of come back into the fold, another new position. He's playing left guard this time. What are fair expectations for Kyle Long coming back?
Well, first of all, is he really going to be playing left guard? I'm curious about that because Josh Sitton is out this week. And so I'm just curious what the Bears do with their offensive line. Do they see remember Tom Compton's questionable too. He started the first two games, got hurt last week. I just wonder if Hronis Grasoon needs to start at center, and you need to put Cody Whitehair at one of the guard spots. Well, they actually put Whitehair at left guard and Kyle Long at right guard.
This is like a Joe Madden. It's like a Joe Madden lineup.
I know, but it's like all this time we have spent this entire summer talking about Kyle Long switching positions. When they get out there tomorrow, I won't be surprised if he actually doesn't switch positions, if he's actually at right guard. In terms of what you can expect, it's a great question. I mean, he has had a very tumultuous year. I mean, going all the way back to November of last year when he hurt the ankle, basically tore up every single ligament in that ankle in Tampa. And, you know, I don't think the offseason went that great for him in terms of the recovery. He opened up a little bit about this week, talked about the atrophy in that leg. I noticed it in Bourbonnais. He was standing there one day on the sideline, and I looked at him, you know, from behind, and I noticed, man, his right calf is noticeably smaller than the left calf. And he finally this week talked about that. And it's a serious thing that he went through, like in terms of there was just not as much strength in that leg as there should have been. And when you're trying to play a sport at that high of a level, it sounds like a picky thing to talk about. Oh, maybe you're not, you know, as strong as in one leg as the other. But that's a legitimate concern. And I think that had a lot to do with why in Bourbonnais, he all of a sudden had to shut it down. And they said, okay, no more. I mean, you're going to be on the sideline for a few weeks. And that's what happened. And that's why we didn't see him for a few weeks. So I think finally he feels like he's up to strength there with both of his legs. We'll see. I don't know what he can do. But given the state of the offensive line right now, I think it's a good thing they're getting Kyle Long back, obviously.
Adam, the experience of a Bears defensive back, the secondary has been pretty tough so far this year. Julio Jones in the opener, Mike Evans, not to mention DeSean Jackson last week, and now you've got the best receiver, the number one receiver in the NFL coming to town. How do you defend Antonio Brown tomorrow with the threat of Bell coming out of the backfield?
Yeah, and it's not even just that. I mean, I went back and I watched the Steelers game against the Vikings on Sunday, and the Vikings have a good defense. They actually did a decent job of slowing on Antonio Brown down. The problem was Ben Roethlisberger had absolutely no fear of throwing the ball deep to Martavis Bryant. And then they found a way in the red zone to get the ball to rookie Juju Smith-Schuster, who's only 20 years old. But is already a decent, you know, kind of, I don't know, taking over the Marcus Wheaton role within that offense, too. So there's other weapons. Obviously, Le'Veon Bell is always going to command attention the way he runs and how patient he is in the backfield. You always got to worry about him. And Ben Roethlisberger had absolutely no fear of throwing deep against the Vikings, a good defense on Sunday, last Sunday. Even though it wasn't even Antonio Brown who was getting open. That's really, guys, when it boils down to this matchup, what concerns me. The Bears front seven has been pretty good, but opposing offenses the last couple weeks have been getting rid of the ball quickly. Maybe that limits what Ben Roethlisberger can do downfield, but this is an all-around really talented offense that the Steelers have. And you have to have a really good secondary that can cover these wide receivers closely. And right now, I think that's the weakness of the Bears' defense. They're not terrible in the secondary. They're getting a little bit better. But I don't know that they can man up and press coverage and stop these talented wideouts. And I ultimately think that's going to be the difference in this football game.
Hogue, I'm the lone man on Crazy Island here. I think the Bears cover. I heard you yesterday say 24-10 Steelers. I imagine you're going to stick with that. I like the way Fangio has been able to take away number one receivers. I like the front seven. Pittsburgh, we saw what they did against Cleveland. It was 21-18. I don't think the Bears win because, like you said, they don't have enough talent. I just think they keep it close enough, and then Big Ben makes the big play down the stretch, and that's where you're at. Could you see it being close? At least you could see that, right?
Yeah, I could. I think the thing that got me off of that, I'm not going to totally disagree with you, Sam. I mean, there is a theory, a legitimate theory, that I brought up earlier, too. I mean, four turnovers in one half last week is kind of extreme. And there's... You would think that that's not going to happen again, even though Mike Glennon's making the start. I mean, Tariq Cohen, theoretically, is not going to make that boneheaded play again and try to pick up a football with three players right around him, right? I mean, that's pretty extreme. And if you take away all that from last week's game, it's probably closer than it was. However, I get back to week one. We kind of forget that the Falcons were starting to pull away, and Glennon does deserve some credit for leaving that touchdown drive to give him a chance to then come back down and have a chance to win it. But I really do think the Falcons were kind of caught off guard by Tariq Cohen's presence in that offense, something that really, when you look at playmakers are the difference in the NFL. We all know this. I mean, guys that are totally separate themselves from the rest of the field. And in week one, I don't know if it's going to be a permanent thing going forward. We'll have to watch Tariq Cohen's career, obviously. But in week one, the Falcons weren't ready for him. And he was a difference maker. Even last week, despite the boneheaded play against the Buccaneers, Cohen really was the entire offense. However, the Buccaneers were able to adjust with a week of tape on him. And so when I look back at week one and the way the Falcons were starting to pull away, and maybe they went into a little bit of a prevent, which allowed Mike Glennon to march down the field. I just don't know if the Steelers are going to allow that. So I sort of see the same scenario playing out where maybe it's close for a half, But in the third quarter, the Steelers start to pull away. And I'm not sure they're going to give up the ground that maybe the Falcons did in week one that allowed Glennon to come back. Unless we see some kind of crazy scenario, guys, where Glennon's struggling. And change at halftime. I'll throw it out
don't,
there.
Don't tease.
You know, I want to keep Bears fans interested. I'm doing my part.
Yeah, Mark Sanchez.
Please. Yeah,
if
please.
Mark Sanchez comes in the game.
A hoagie is something we haven't covered. It's something that maybe nobody else in the Chicago sports media has talked about all week. It's something fun. I got to ask you, any hoagies?
Maybe I'm stretching here, but there's one guy that I thought made a difference week one that got hurt in the middle of the game that people kind of forgot about, and the whole controversy about why Tariq Cohen wasn't on the field at the end of the game against the Falcons, and Dow Loggins kind of went into it in the following week. Benny Cunningham, I'm not trying to make him out to be, some kind of difference maker, but I actually thought the Bears did miss him both late in the game week one and then last week in Tampa. And he's going to be healthy and probably ready to play. He's a good guy in pass protection, which is way, way bigger of a deal than fans realize out of the backfield for a running back. And also as a kick returner, maybe I'm stretching there a little bit, but I actually do think that guy makes a little bit of a difference, and the Bears aren't going to get him back tomorrow.
When Benny Cunningham takes the opening kickoff 99 yards, we'll remember this tomorrow.
And that's why the Bears will cover for you.
So. Yes! All right. I like that. I like that.
I love the Benny Cunningham hoagie. That's awesome.
That's Adam Hoge, our Bears insider. Read his stuff. It's awesome. WGNRadio.com/Bears, and check out that podcast. Doesn't get any better. Hogan Johns, WGNRadio.com. Have fun tomorrow. Good luck with John Fox.
All right, and thanks for not asking me about Donald Trump in the NFL.
Oh, yeah, but don't get me started.
All right, see you guys.